Love Finds the Duke at Last. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1901. The Duke of Lavenham walked slowly downstairs to the breakfast room. His breakfast had been ready for him for quite some time, but he had come home very late from a party which had been extremely amusing. Contrary to his usual rules, he had stayed nearly to the end. He then sat down at the head of the breakfast table, which overlooked the garden at the back of his gracious house in Park Lane, in the middle of Mayfair, the smartest district in London. His large dining room had a view of Hyde Park, but his breakfast room, which was very much smaller and not so impressive, caught the early morning sunshine streaming in through the windows, which he greatly appreciated. The butler and two footmen hurried to bring in the dishes, which were cooked and ready for him, as well as the special tea from India he always drank at breakfast. As he disliked conversation early in the morning, the servants did not speak to him, and he did not speak to them. After he had sat down at the table, he saw with a sigh that there was a large pile of private letters which his secretary had put ready for him by his place. Anything that was a bill or an official nature was opened by his secretary, and he saw them later in the day, but his private letters were placed on the breakfast table. He gazed at them for a short while, and thought that he recognised the handwriting on at least three of them. At the age of 28, the Duke of Lavenham was at his best and exceedingly handsome. More than one beauty had complained to him. "It is unfair that you should be so good-looking, as well as so rich, and a duke. You have too much, and who can compete with you?" The duke had laughed heartily at the time, and had then dismissed the remark with a sardonic twist of his lips, and the beauty had left his side, looking embarrassed. But he often thought that he was exceedingly lucky. His father had always been short of money, until he had married an heiress, and so the family fortunes had then soared upwards. What was more, the present duke had been left a considerable amount of money by one of his godparents. "You are indeed the luckiest man in the world," several of his friends had told him, and he had not disagreed with them. In fact, he was exceedingly grateful to fate that had made him, unlike a number of his contemporaries, not have to worry continually over money, and have, as he had often been told, creditors constantly knocking at their doors. The daily newspapers were by his side at the table, arranged on a silver holder, which put them exactly at the right angle for him to read them at the same time as he ate his breakfast. There was not much news in any of them, and what there was seemed rather boring and uninteresting. He therefore pushed the newspapers to one side, and finished the excellent dish of salmon kedgeree that he was eating, and then stretched out his hand for the first letter. It was from an old friend, who he had taken out two nights ago, who had now left London. She wrote to say how much she had enjoyed seeing him again, and thanked him for a most entertaining evening. "You must come and stay with us as soon as you can spare the time," she wrote. "Arthur is longing to see your new horses, and I think you will be quite nervous of two he has bought recently." She ended with some complimentary words about his appearance, and several words of love, which he knew were true. He was very fond of her, and if she had not been married when they first met, he often thought that he might well have asked her to marry him. But she was very happy with her husband, and now had three charming children, and the Duke was a godfather to the youngest. He then put the letter on one side and opened the next one. For a moment, he could not guess who it was from.